You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, and we wish you the best for the new year.
Home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And we're talking gay news.
Are we now?
We certainly are. Now, one of the big stories that we have been keeping an eye on is a Canadian story where a gentleman who, he's been working as a nurse in Edmonton.
Okay.
He's 25-year-old. I believe his name is Sue. Has been... or will be, at time of recording,
right.
Has not yet.
Okay.
But all indications are, will have, by the time you hear this, been deported back to Uganda.
Right.
Now, Sue has complained that he is a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've mentioned multiple times on this show that Uganda currently has one of the worst anti-gay laws in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I identified myself as an aggravated homosexual. But mm-hmm. in Uganda, that has a death penalty.
Right.
They will literally kill you for being an aggravated homosexual.
From what I understand, it's a law in the books that hasn't been used yet, but it's on the books at all. And that is, I mean, that's still scary. I mean,
well,
people have gone to prison.
People have been rounded up and arrested, and there's been law enforcement.
Yes.
No one's been put to death yet, I think.
But it is on the books, and that doesn't make it okay.
No. So he is very concerned. Now, the reason why this is particularly newsworthy, so he was here on various visas, he's claimed, I believe, asylum,
mm-hmm.
And Canada has refused to grant him refugee status.
Okay.
Or asylum, whichever one it is in this case. And the reason being that to be able to flee persecution, you have to prove that you've been persecuted.
Mm.
And it may not have been able to do that. Now, Uganda's leading LGBT activists have weighed in, written documentation saying, yes, this is a gay man. Coming here is... not great. He's been involved with the queer community in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And some folks there are like, yes, this is a gay man. And he's been here. And then, but the challenge is that according to the Canadian government, or his reporting of what the Canadian government is saying,
mm-hmm.
He has insufficiently proven his gayness.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before, you know. Remember when... there was this backlash for lesbians that had to have manly hands. Do you recall that?
Manly hands.
That manly hand test that lesbians had to do.
I don't remember
this. I mean, that was maybe like 8 years ago or something. But it was a refugee application. But yeah, no, it's how do you prove? How do you prove you're gay without, you know, literally demonstrating?
I mean, even then... if it's to save your life, people would be willing to do all sorts of things to... But beyond that, I mean, I don't know. The obvious joke answer is you show them your gay card. But, I mean, that's something that doesn't exist. So, I don't know. I don't know how you would prove that. You could even show up with a husband, but there are whole movies. I mean, there's an Adam Sandler movie about a guy who marries his best friend for insurance fraud reasons. Like, it's anything you could do, somebody could excuse as being, well, you're just doing that for the paperwork. And it's hard to prove. It really is hard to prove. I don't know what the answer is. And I don't think anyone has ever come up with an answer that is not... a human rights violation, basically.
Yeah. Well, it's a struggle now.
Because they used to do, like, rectum tests and things like
that. Oh, all kinds of ridiculousness.
Weird things, yeah. And then they figured out, no, this is stupid. basically, mm-hmm. and intrusive and a human rights violation.
Now, according to the CBSA, Canada's Border and Protective Services, what's that? Canada Border Services Agency. I was like, Border, no, I figured out what it was.
Yeah.
So the CBSA said, look, we don't just deport people willy-nilly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? There is a whole process. He applied back in April of 2022. This is now late December of 2023. You know, it's been a process.
Mm-hmm.
And CBSA is saying, you know, all individuals are subject to removal, have access to the same due process and procedural fairness. Mm-hmm. And they say decision to remove someone from Canada is not taken lightly. I believe they were speaking to the Global Mail on that front.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sue, the gentleman being deported, has also reached out to Randy Boissonneau, MP for Alberta, one of the MPs in Alberta. He was the LGBT secretariat, mm-hmm. briefly, under the Liberal government. Definitely a strong ally, for sure. But, I don't know. Without reading the details of his case,
mm-hmm.
it's really hard to weigh in. You know, on the face of it, gay man being deported to the most homophobic country in the world,
mm-hmm.
probably not the best idea.
Right.
But at the other hand, what kind of 18 to 20 month process leads to that conclusion?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, sometimes you hear about, we don't report on everything we find, but there have been reports of people being deported, but it was because all they had to do was fill out some paperwork to extend their refugee status, because refugee status is usually granted for like a period of time. And they just never filled out the paperwork. And after like months of past due notices, the government was basically like, buddy, it's been a year. You got to get out. All you had to do was sign a thing. You didn't sign the thing. You got to get out. Which maybe it's a little Brazil, the movie, not the country. You know, you didn't fill the paperwork correctly, so we're going to stick you in a canvas bag and huck you over the wall. Like, that's, it kind of feels like that. But then on the other hand, if, I don't know, it's, when you have refugee status, there are certain protocols you need to fulfill in order to maintain that refugee status. And from what I understand, because I have spoken to other people, including lawyers who help deal with this,
mm-hmm.
the various ministries involved, because there's more than one, really, they grease the wheels as much as they can to make the process as uncomplicated as possible, yeah. even though it is a complicated process.
So
it would
be IRCC, Immigration, Refugee, and Citizenship Canada would mm-hmm. be the other agency.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, there's multiple agencies involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, they'll provide you with a translator if you need one. They'll provide you with various services. Sometimes there's a queue. You can't just walk in and grab a translator. You have to wait until next Friday or something. But, you know, there are services available. And it's weird and unfortunate. Every so often you hear about somebody getting deported and then you find out they did nothing.
Yeah.
And is that fair? I don't know. You know, it's sort of like, do you lose your house because you messed up one mortgage payment? Is that fair? No.
Also, I don't think you would.
But I mean, it's just, you know, what are the conditions on the contract you signed when you bought your house?
Mm-hmm.
Did you violate those conditions, yes or no? And there comes a point where it's like you're being kind of a dingus if you enforce this and evict people from their house. But on the other hand, they did sign a contract. So I don't know. It's heartless, but it's the system. And I guess if that's the problem, then what needs to change is the system. It's not this one case that changes a system-wide problem.
It's worth noting that, first of all, Canada is bringing in hundreds of thousands of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there is that's a growing debate right now.
Yeah.
But realistically, on the one hand, where do you house all of these folks?
Mm.
But on the other hand, who is going to farm the farms in the Niagara region? You know, who is going to prop up the economy as Canadians age out of a lot of jobs? Like, there is a labor deficit that they're trying to balance, but also you can't balance the labor deficit if everyone's homeless.
Yeah.
Right? Then it's tricky. It's not easy.
Yeah.
But the point I want to circle back to here is Canada brings in more LGBTQ refugees than I think any other country in the world.
Okay.
We are a global leader on supporting queer refugees,
mm-hmm.
you know, the world over. So it's not like Canada's cold and mean.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is. But I do wonder how do you create an avenue for queer folks to claim refugee status? Because as a gay man, I don't know if I would support just identifying.
Yeah.
I am gay, grant me asylum.
Yeah.
You know, because there are millions and millions of people who are in desperate situations in refugee camps all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if all you have to do to move to Montreal is announce that you're a homosexual, then we're going to be lined up out the door.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There has to be a balance.
In the interaction between that and asylum in specific, you could have somebody who's like a confirmed terrorist in their home country, and then they say, well, I'm a homosexual. I'm going to get killed if I go back home. It's like, well, I mean, one would hope that their status as a confirmed criminal in their home country would be a mitigating factor when granted.
Yeah, no, let's be clear here for all of our listeners. Canada does not allow criminals to claim asylum in Canada.
I mean, technically they do, though, because being gay makes you a criminal in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
well, an aggravated homosexual.
Yes. So, I mean, it depends on what crimes you're talking about. I mean, in general, if it's a crime in Canada as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the main thing. Like, you can't murder people here either. So,
yeah.
If you're trying to claim homosexual asylum status in Canada to skirt around...
Best not kill people.
Yeah.
But let's be honest here. Millions and millions of refugees.
Yeah.
There aren't millions and millions of murderers hiding amongst them. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a very small number. But it brings back to this point. How do we, you know, meter the gates?
Yes.
You know... Is it a red herring? You know, is it a false idea that people are pretending to be gay to claim asylum? You know what I mean?
What?
So should we just trust people that are?
It's one of those things. If you and I can think of it, somebody else has thought of it and somebody else has done it. It's not an issue of is it being done. It probably has. The issue is it enough of a problem to be a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Is that track? Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I don't know if it is a big enough issue to be a problem, though. Because there are... If you're fleeing Uganda for various reasons, there are other countries you could go to that are closer and probably culturally more similar. They may share more languages in common, more, like, ethno-religious practices in common. Like, the best place... A lot of Ukrainian refugees went back to Ukraine and then went to, like...
Poland or
Romania, like... Countries that are accepting refugees that are more similar to Ukraine because they actually integrate more easily. And in general, that's what's going to happen. If you're fleeing Uganda and you're not going like two countries over, you're going two continents over, then you're going far.
It's also hard to say that you're proving your homosexuality. You know, if you're in a country where it is illegal, you're not going to be marching around in a pride parade and, you know, cottaging in the local park.
True.
There is, you know, people... And we've talked about this before, that people's sexuality reflects the time and space in which they live.
Yeah.
You know, your sexual self, you know, at a family dinner is going to be very different from your sexual self at a nightclub with your loved one. You know, how you embody your sexuality changes depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, being in a country that is the most homophobic in the world...
Yeah.
I don't know if I would, you know, if it was me, if I would do anything that I could then point backwards and say, that proves I was gay. You know, how do you create a track record of gayness when your safety depends on being as invisible as possible?
Yeah.
You know, it's a huge challenge. I don't know how we can balance that.
Well, I mean, whatever evidence the state would use against you in Uganda, you could just use that same evidence, maybe.
But then do you have to be at a point where you've provoked the authorities to be able to go and then claim asylum in Canada?
True.
You know, and at that point, you're putting your own life at risk.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, and is that what Canada is asking of our refugees?
Yeah.
That you have to put yourself at risk be persecuted before we'll even entertain the idea. Mm-hmm. It's a tricky one. How do you prove you're gay without literally proving you're gay? I don't know where we go from there. We will be monitoring the story. As I said, at time of recording, he is going to be deported tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It is very likely that he has been deported at this point in time. All right, we will be playing now our first track of the day. And that track is, I'm just going to make sure I've got the right one here. Mm-hmm. Beyond the Stars by the Shoegaze Project. This is a great track. We like this one.
Shoegaze. I like Shoegaze.
Absolutely. All right, Beyond the Stars by the Shoegaze Project. And we will be back just after this.
Give you the moon if I could, lost in the woods.
And welcome back to Kangaroo, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And you found some news out of La Belle Provence.
La Belle Provence. Quebec, also. Yes. So, the Quebec legislature is doubling its budget to invest in fighting against homophobia and transphobia in the province.
Like, the entire budget of Quebec?
I mean...
Or just that particular budget line?
That particular budget line.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes, yes, yes. So they're going up to $24 million over the next 5 years, and they're doing this in conjunction with up to 70 various community groups.
Mm.
And from what I've been able to find, it seems about 55% of the budget is going to those community groups, and the rest is going to promoting... well, to promotions like... Well, I'm translating in my head here. To awareness campaigns. There you go. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay.
Awareness campaigns and stuff for sports and whatnot.
Now, 2.5... Obviously, there's going to be administration. Every ministry has administration.
Yes.
But 2.5 million, let's say two point something million, on awareness campaigns?
Yes.
Mm, that's a ridiculously large amount of money to raise awareness of the gays.
Yes. Well, I mean, you have to bear in mind that if you're doing YouTube spots or a poster campaign on local buses, just because you're the government doesn't mean you get to do it for free.
Hmm.
They also have to pay.
I suppose my question is, and we spoke a little bit about this during the music break there, the idea that there is some acrimony between the queer community and the government of Quebec.
There's some friction between community groups and government organizations kind of across the globe.
Mm.
There are differences of opinion on just about everything. On who should do what is the plan, what counts as being success. We here have been mostly off the air critical because we don't want to be crass about it, but there are various local community groups for the promotion of LGBTQ awareness and all that. That really just comes down to, we painted a mural, job's done.
Yeah, I think you said we painted a mural on the back of a pancake shop.
Yeah.
We've solved transphobia.
Yes. There are community groups that do have that mindset, and you're just sitting there like, but no. So I understand murals are very good in terms of identifying communities.
Like, yeah.
You know when you're in Chinatown.
Yeah.
Here in Ottawa.
And you know when you walk by, you know, that pancake shop, there is a queer community here.
Yeah.
That likes paint. You know, it...
Yes.
It's the idea of being seen to be believed.
Yeah.
And then this is a way of being like, see us now.
It
yeah.
doesn't do nothing, but it doesn't do what they think it does either sometimes. Mm. And this is one of the issues, is sometimes governments want plans. They want strategies. They want metrics.
Gotta love a strategy.
They want you, like if they're paying you $5.6 million over the next 3 years, they want to know that that's going to do something.
Mm. Deliverables.
Deliverables. They want deliverables. And they want outcomes. And they don't want to just take your word for it.
Well,
sometimes they do. Sometimes
there is an obligation.
Yeah, yeah.
The government is supposed to, you know, responsibly use taxpayer funds.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You can't just be willy-nilly spending money here, there, and everywhere, because that's not responsible to the tax base.
Yes.
It's not responsible behavior for Quebecers.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it.
There is an issue, though, and that is sometimes if you're to claim that's not responsible spending, the way not the concept of spending money on ending homophobia and transphobia, but the way in which you did it. Sometimes you get people in the ministry whose answer is, "How dare you? Are you homophobic?" And it's, we're not criticizing what you're doing. We're criticizing how you're doing.
Yeah, we're criticizing how you did it. Yeah
exactly. And that goes for community groups as well. Sort of infamously, there was a report that was released by a Canadian-based community-based public service.
Oh, God. Well, the one that they had a big survey and it was, what, 12 people?
It was all their friends. And then the way they presented the data, anyone in grade 8 would know that's not how you do a pie chart. And it was just the most embarrassing thing ever. And they got paid money for that. And we're not going to name who they are because, if anything else, it's been long enough that there's been turnover. It's a different group by now. It's, what's it, not the Argo, the ship of Theseus. It's the ship of Theseus.
Are you thinking like whatchamacallum's broom?
Yeah, you replace it piece by piece, or the axe.
Is it the same broom?
Yeah, it's not the same organization anymore. There's no point in smearing them. It's completely different people by now. But it was an embarrassment, and they got paid money to make that thing. And
like that hideous sweater. Oh.
Unrelated.
But there are issues, and it's from within the community as well. It's not just, you know, the boogeyman, you know, homophobic, transphobic boogeyman conservative who lives on a farm with a shotgun and meemaw. Like, not everyone who's critical is that. You know, you do have liberal or progressive or even centrist-minded individuals from within the community who are saying, I don't mind the fact that government dollars are going towards this, but what is it going towards? Are they doing their job? Are they good at it? Is the government oversight any good? Is the government department that's overseeing this, do I trust them to make a good decision? Like, you don't have to be that stereotype to question this. And actually, it is kind of an issue because there have been times in the past where people have questioned these community organizations and they say, well, you're just a homophobe, a transphobe, and a conservative, and probably also, and then they just list everything else, and that's cheating. Like, I'm sorry, but we have genuine concerns. Can you address them, please? It looks like some of the issues in Quebec, the program in Quebec is mostly just focused around awareness. And what awareness means, it could be anything from, hey, by the way, homosexuals and trans people exist, which is kind of low-hanging fruit. That's very, like, early 90s. But it could also be, here's how you report hate crime.
Yeah.
Which is functional. That does something. It could be, here are the local services that you could turn to if you find yourself homeless due to
I don't know how the government can tell people it's spending over $2 million a year on awareness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I do wonder, and maybe this is just me being cynical, I do wonder if maybe they did some polling and realized that certain community members will never vote for them. Mm-hmm. So dropping $2 million to make everyone, you know, feel better about them is not a bad idea. Now, the other half of the budget, you said it was what, how many million over 5 years? 27-ish?
I just tried to remember when I actually have the news report right in front of me.
But
it 3.7 million, there you go.
Okay, so it works out to be about 5 million a year, ballpark around there.
Approximately.
Yeah. You know, half of that going to community groups, but you also said that there were 70 community groups. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that works out to? $35,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so on the one hand, I'm like, okay, you can't really hire a full-time person on $35,000.
And you're assuming it's going to be evenly distributed.
I don't think it will be.
No.
I think that there are probably some very grassroots organizations where going from no money to $10,000-$20,000 is going to be revolutionary.
Yes.
You know, your ability to operate as a grassroots org with enough money for an office or enough money for someone part-time to do the books or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, it can have a massive impact. But on the other hand, organizations that are operating, you know, out of Montreal or Quebec City, they're probably, in terms of nonprofits in the city of that size, between the 500 and 750,000 mark in terms of their size. Mm-hmm. You know, at that point, you're looking at hiring a person to do a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's if you're getting between 70 and 100K to be able to do it.
And the thing you're hiring them for, it's probably written in their contract that this is a 1.5 year project-based employment, and then when the project is done, We may keep you on for something else, but the funding for this is dried up. Like,
I would be curious. They've given a 5-year lifespan on this funding. Mm-hmm. Now, for a long time, governments the world over would give funding for 1 year.